stand up. Guys, do you have a picture of my book or planner, just so I can throw it on the screen? And just kind of have that. Hey, I want us to go. I want us to pray in a second. Why don't you put your hand on your own stomach? Say, Lord Jesus, stir the gifts, stir the faith,
stir the calling
on my life, that I might
stir up others.
I declare
I
can become
all you desire
by your grace,
by your word.
I will become
all you desire.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with
the spirit of faith.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Grab a seat.
Amen.
Feel good?
Good.
Awesome. I do want to just show you the book I've sadly not have with me. that's what I would say to you. It actually got stuck in customs and we sold out of it, to be honest. Literally thousands of men have bought this book now. And honestly, I'm hearing guys come to Christ, restore their marriage. And it's very, very encouraging. You can get it, though, on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it on Audible. The best way to get it is through transformthemovement.com. You can order it on there. All you got to do is click, obviously, take a picture. The other thing I'll say is not just the book. I'll mention this planner for a second. This planner, to me, was the outworking of the book, because this planner is a three-month planner that asked you know the hard questions that you got asked?
Yeah.
How helpful would it be if you asked those weekly? So you ask those weekly and you ask those monthly. Pastor Rob's like, no, I don't want to ask those. So when you ask yourself hard questions, what happens is you start getting honest. So the challenge sometimes for all of us, and this is me, this is you, this is everyone leading, when you come to a leadership talk, what actually happens is you feel inspired, you get encouraged, you're like, yes, we can do it. And then what do? You fall back to your default setting of your habits, right? So we all fall back to our default setting of habits. And so what the book and the planner does is actually challenge you on a regular basis to try and unlock some of your potential in your life. All right, how do you change your life? Oh, let me use this. Do I need to use this? Sorry, guys. I'm meant to be podcasting. Welcome, you're a podcaster. Anyway, how do you change your life? When you leave this place, yeah, habit is one of the answers, but how do you change your life? I believe the answer is in Genesis 1. Our Father modeled it, and I want you to watch this now. This is how you change your life. This is how you transform your life. Here's the thing. This is how you inspire other men to change their lives, right? Because you can hype them up. You can go Tony Robbins on them. You're like, oh, I walked through the fire and all this kind of stuff. And then it's like, okay, what do I do tomorrow? Okay. We underestimate our morning. If you change your morning, what did you just do? You changed your day, or you change your whole life because you have a morning every day of your life, right? Think of a tree for a moment. A tree started out this, like a seed. So your morning is a seed to your day. Your day is a seed to your week. Your week is a seed to your month. Your month is a seed to your year. Your years are the seeds to the decades of your life. So how do I change my life? I've got to change my morning. With this, vision, action, reflection. So I'm going to get up with an intentional morning, and the Father modeled this, and what did he do? He has vision. Day one. Let there be light. Action. He spoke, and then what did he do? He looked back on the day and said what? It was good. What did he do day two? Day two, he speaks, things move, he looks back on the day, and what does he say? It was good. Day three, what did he do? He creates the plants and the animals and all kinds of things. Vision, he's got it, he knows what he wants to do. Action, there's movement. And then he reflects on the day. And what does he do? He says, it's good. Now, because you and I aren't God, we're going to look back on our day sometimes and go, it wasn't good. But how many of you would rather change your day, look back, make small adjustments, or look back on 10 years and go, it wasn't good? Because the difference sometimes between staying stuck is just the number of times or the years that you're going to allow yourself to stay stuck, isn't it? So morning, how do I change my day? I live with vision in the morning. I go and act out the day. I plan my day. And then I just take a moment at the end of my day and say, Father, how was that today? Okay, how do you change your life? You change your morning, you change your day. You change your week. We know we're meant to work generally 6 days a week, even though Australians and Americans said, no, it's going to be five. We take a day off. This is the House of God day and so forth. And there's vision and there's action and there's reflection and there's priorities and there's all this kind of stuff. How do we get men to change their lives? We get men to change their lives by their morning. Because the morning is the seed to the day. And how do we get men and women to change their lives? We give them a vision, action, reflection, and we challenge them to get really clear on what they value each morning, each day, each week. And you know you won't do it perfectly because you're challenged and you're trying to change yourself and all kinds of things. But guess what? If you just keep on beating the drum of personal leadership in the morning time, in the daytime, in the week time, what happens over time? You're like, man, you're years ahead of where you would be. And I was walking to the bathroom just earlier, and I saw just a little 4.5-year-old running around. And I thought to myself, man, how important is it that we live lives that are an example? Why? Because our little kids are watching everything we do. And how many of you have some habits that you watched your mom and dad do, and you said, man, I'm not going to do that? Right? Most of us have things that we go, man, I wouldn't do money their way. I wouldn't do health their way. I wouldn't do arguments their way. I wouldn't do drinking their way. I wouldn't do all this kind of stuff. And then sometimes in our own lives, we fail to realize how important it is to lead ourselves well. Does this make sense? Right? This is how we change our lives. Now, let me give you the quadrant again. Just in case you think I'm making up some weird, I don't know, new age thing about four quadrants and the four quadrants and all kinds of stuff. Okay. Let me give you the foundation of this, and the men would have heard this. They would have heard this Saturday night. Who knows what Luke 2:52 is? Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man, right? Luke 2:52. And we know this from the age of 13 to 30, 17 years. What did he do? He grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. Four areas of life. Oh, that's weird. It's right in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Speaking of wisdom, long life is in her right hand, health. In her left hand are riches and honor. How we relate to money and career. That's riches. How we relate to God and people. Honor can only come from two places, right? God or people. It doesn't come from trees, right? The trees don't come up and hug you. I just want to honor you, right? It's either God or people. And so watch this now. The Bible says this, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore what? Get wisdom. And it literally says, pursue it more than gold, more than riches. Why does it say that? Because it says, long life is in a right hand, and in the left hand are riches and honor. It's both. Does that make sense? Proverbs chapter 3, 15, 16. Let me give you one more scripture here that jumped alive to me not too long ago. Man, I was reading this, the book of Proverbs. I've been reading the book of Proverbs since I was 18 years old, so goodness. I've been reading the book of Proverbs longer, more than I haven't been reading the book of Proverbs. Well, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3, literally jumped off the page to me recently. I think it was in the NLT version. It said this, their purpose, speaking of the book of Proverbs, it says their purpose is to teach people to live wise and disciplined and successful lives. It's literally the vision statement of the book of Proverbs. And as I'm reading this, it says their purpose is to teach people to live wise, disciplined, and successful lives. I've never had this happen to me as I'm reading the Bible. I know some people talk about scriptures jumping off the page to you. As I'm reading it, it literally felt like it shifted on the page and said, your purpose. And I literally went, oh, goodness, that's why I'm meant to do this. And I'd get so frustrated as I'd read personal development and the leadership stuff. The personal development world would just steal stuff from the Bible all the time and make it their own. And then the Christian church, we're just kind of preaching, I don't know, stuff that isn't helping sometimes people in their everyday life. But it needs to heal the hand. And so let me say this also to the men. If you don't heal the hand, eventually the heart gets so disappointed that was once was a fiery, passionate faith years later. Because let me say this to the men. The women in our lives, men, are hoping that you become the man you're meant to become. That's what I can promise you, right? And when a woman marries a man, she's looking like a princess that day, he's looking like James Bond that day, and they, what could possibly go wrong? what they're really saying is, I hope this man becomes all he's meant to become. And obviously the man's thinking the same thing. Does that make sense? Right? Okay. How do you transform your life? You transform your morning. You transform your day. You transform your week. Through what? Vision, action, reflection. Vision, action, reflection. Vision, action, reflection. Let me give you one more thought that I think you should ask yourself. Can I spray this? Yeah, I'll spray it. Give me a spray. Look at this. Spraying it. let's spray this well. this is the stuff I've worked on in my planner that asks yourself questions every day. How many know when you ask yourself the right questions, you get good stuff? Right? Where are you, Adam? He's hiding. Genesis 4, he says to Cain, Cain, why are you angry? And isn't it interesting that he says, why are you angry? And Cain doesn't answer the question. Doesn't answer the question, avoids the question. What happens in his heart? Jealousy, rage, I'm not favored, how dare he? Murder becomes the fruit of not answering the right question. Jesus is walking with his disciples one day, and he goes to them, hey, what were you guys talking about on the road? And they're like, oh, nothing. We're just talking about who is going to be the greatest. What happened? God asked Adam, where are you? It reveals he was hiding. God asks Cain, why are you angry? It reveals he could have got favor if he just brought the right offering, right? And then Jesus asked the disciples, why or what were you talking about? And it revealed the pride in their own heart, and they didn't get the kingdom of God yet. Questions are powerful, aren't they? So let me give you a few thoughts that you could change your life with every day, and then I want to talk about a growth environment. Is that okay? Cool? Okay. Maybe you take a picture of this. Your biggest task of the day. Obviously, this is about your day. This is about you leading yourself well. And I struggle with this, and this is why I literally wrote a planner to help myself. So I just want to let you know, I'm not up here like, oh, I just get so much stuff done. Now, I'm a creative and I'm entrepreneurial. I kind of think of what could be. And so sometimes when I'm thinking of that stuff, I'm not getting the stuff I need to get done. So my biggest tasks of the day are there. Second question would be on a morning. This could be what your morning looks like. What am I deeply grateful for? What am I deeply grateful for? What one habit am I working on? Number four, what am I praying and believing big for? How many know there's a difference between praying and believing big? because that'll challenge you on a regular basis. What am I praying for and believing big for? Last question. How many of you like books, podcasts, you listen to them? Yeah? I think this unlocks sometimes some of those wisdom that's already been deposited in you. What would a mentor tell me today? What would a mentor tell me today? Why ask that question? Because some of you have read and podcasts and all kinds of stuff, and the truth is you get lost. You're almost like, oh man, maybe a mentor would tell you today, enjoy your day. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Maybe a mentor would tell you, hey, take a rest today, go walk on the beach today, get a massage today, go out for coffee with your wife today. That's what sometimes a mentor would tell you. Like, go take 3 days off because you're fried. Sometimes a mentor would say to you, get up earlier and suck it up, big boy. Right? Which one? Work hard today. Finish the task today. Invest in someone today. Be grateful today. What would a mentor tell you today when you ask yourself that question on a regular basis? The podcast, the books, the leadership principles that you've all been sitting in for so long, it's like the Holy Spirit can use them and go, oh man, I need to go encourage that person. Send them a text message today. Man, I need to spend a little more time with my kids today. It seems like something's bothering them today. I need to encourage them, love on them, whatever it is today. Does that make sense? So when you ask yourself, man, what are my biggest things I need to do today? This is vision, action, reflection, right? What am I deeply grateful for? What am I, the grace of God, my family, my health, right? All of a sudden, you get out of a victim mentality when you get grateful, don't you? What habit am I working on today? What's the one habit? Not seven habits, not four habits, not seven habits of highly effective people in one day. I'm talking about the one habit you are working on today. What am I praying for and believing big? You know, one of the biggest things that used to frustrate me in my church in the early days was I'd say, hey, men, what are we praying for? And the prayer request was so weak. Oh, praying for my toe. Wanted to pull my hair out. I thought we were meant to reach souls for Christ and disciple people and raise leaders, and we're over here praying that we have less nostril hair. Like, it's just amazing sometimes, isn't it? But what am I praying and believing big for? I can tell you this, I'm believing big for land at the moment for our church. Man, we need more space. We need a building. I'm believing big for leaders. I'm believing big for souls. I'm believing big for discipleship. I'm believing our men's ministry is going to go to a whole nother level. I'm believing, man, there's this thing in my heart where I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, stop making excuses why you don't have 1,000 men in your men's ministry. So I'm just believing big for those things, right? I'm believing big. I'm believing the book's going to help people. Plan is going to help people. I'm believing big. I can't lower my language to the Northeast, just so you know, when people say, hey, oh yeah, big church, America, the Northeast is a very cold area. It's known to be cold. It's known for Catholic kind of stronghold, I almost call it. It's known for churches being small and irrelevant. That's what it's known for. It's not known for the South and big churches all over the place. It's not known for men gathering at all. It's not known for that. Our church is starting to become known for that. Because I had to stop making excuses why men wouldn't gather. And I had to start saying to our church, we're graced to gather men. Oh, it's hard to get men, it's hard to get men. It'll be hard to get men if you keep on saying that. The football, they get them, so it's not hard to gather men, actually. They actually want to go to a place where there's leadership and there's winning. So if you get men winning, they'll actually start getting more excited about going to your group than actually another football game watching someone else win. And so let me say this, it's more important that your men are more excited about their family winning than their football team winning. The only reason why men are more excited about their football team winning in life is because they're not. So you and I have to change the game, heal the hands, and then get them with vision and fire them up with the Holy Spirit and get their lives more passionate about their finances, their health, their relationships, their marriage, their generation, their legacy. Does that make sense? And yes, that also means obviously the ladies as well. But how many of you know ladies sometimes are often the most passionate in church? Man, how come this? We got women everywhere in churches and men are kind of like, Remember this, Adam lost the game when he was passive. So that was before That was before there was sin. So the assignment for men is to rid their lives of passivity. And that doesn't just happen. That happens with vision, but it happens in a growth environment. Make sense? Okay. All right, I started preaching to you for a second. And why is this not doing it? Okay. If I would do ministry again, let's do this. Let's spray this. I feel like I'm just... I'm just... let me have some fun. If I would do ministry again, I would build longer paths. Paths. Say this with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. It's paths. It's a path of righteousness. It's not a quick fix of righteousness. It's not a four-week course of righteousness, is it? It's a path. So Jesus took his disciples on a three-year path. Daniel chapter 1, Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian pagan king, takes his men on a three-year path. And then this awesome scripture, Genesis 14:14. Abraham took 318 men, what's this now, trained in his house. Trained in his house. So if I would do leadership and ministry again, I'd create longer paths because people are on paths. How many know you get excited about someone, get saved? Man, 6 months later, they're doing amazing. 9 months later, they start, actually, Pastor Rob was talking about this recently. Someone got to them. Someone started talking about end times, then conspiracy theories. And 1 year later, this person's in cuckoo land and thinks Jesus is coming back tomorrow. And he's got a date set and he's got beans under his, you know, under his counter somewhere. And he's just waiting for Jesus to return. He's spending all his money at the credit cards because Jesus is going to return tomorrow. That ever happened before in your church? Yeah? No? Never? Okay, you're awesome. Because sometimes our paths aren't long enough to teach them, because sometimes we've grown up in church and we underestimate how long the path's been. So we're trying to fix our church in a moment. We're trying to fix it in 4 weeks. But I reckon you've got a year of development. And guess what? The next year, another year of development and 3 years of development. We've been beating the drum with Transform Men for 5 years. I had 33 men the first season of Transform. 33 men. But I tell you, I knew I had something. Third week, I literally looked at my men's pastor, who's now the guy who helps run it. I looked at him and says, it has it. We're 3 weeks in, 33 men show up. Now, close to 350 men show up on a Monday night in our church, and they're on a path of growth, not just hearing one sermon. Does that make sense? So there's a path for new Christians to come in the door, or even Christians who, or people who aren't Christians yet to come in the door and go on this learning track, but there's also paths for other men to keep on learning over time. Does that make sense? So let me try show you this. How do you change a life group into a leadership environment? Life group might be good, but how do you actually make it so that there's challenge and there's leadership development at the same time? Let me give you, and I'll just show you what it looks like at Church Alive on a Monday night with our men every single time. And I'm telling you that every single time, that's the structure. And within the structure, we need the Spirit, right? So let me show you what it looks like. And you can do this, a pre-leaders meeting. You're like, I'm running a life group. I don't have any meeting. Grab one or two people, and they're your pre-leaders meeting. Okay? Now you do the meeting. So let's go fellowship, people hanging out. Let's do a little fun. because they've just been working all day. Let's do a concise 8 to 10 minute teaching. Not boring, not waffling, honoring the person's time, getting to the point, that kind of stuff. Let's discuss. What do we actually talk about? What do we discuss in the Word? Discuss the week. Now, everyone basically does this. Everyone does this. Well, let's put prayer here, sorry. Everyone does this. Here's where you distinguish yourself on a leadership environment. It's only adding two more things. So we do a pre-leaders meeting every time. Guys meet. We have some fun. There's a teaching. There's some inspiration. We're going to discuss the Word, talk about the Word. We're going to pray for one another, obviously. And then the next bit is, what are you doing this week in the four areas of life? Spiritual, physical, relational, financial. Man, what are you doing this week to get a little more attention with your wife, get a little more attention with your kids? Man, you got credit card debt. Okay, let's, come on, I'm going to pay off some credit card debt. I'm going to get a little healthier. I'm going to memorize scripture. I'm going to do that kind of stuff. Now, when they come back next week, you go through the exact same thing. And when you discuss, what'd you do? What'd you do? Hey, who memorized the scripture? Who went on a date night with their wife? Who got a little more intentional with their exercise and getting healthier? Or maybe you invited someone to church. Man, that's awesome. Tell me about that. Because unless the men are clear on what the touchdown is or the try is, they don't know when they're winning. So the try is, let's you know, in football, like in rugby, what do? You move it forward 10 meters. Then you move it forward another meter. Then you move it forward another meter. Then you move it forward. Then you get to the point where you got a try. Now the team celebrates. And so many times with men, and I'll say this with women too, we don't know what the win is, so we end up just talking about who had the worst week. Hey, tell me about your problems. And then everyone's in this counseling session, and we're focusing on the weak instead of modeling the strong. Does that make sense? How did Jacob change the goats and the sheep to all of a sudden the goats and the sheep start multiplying to become goats and sheep, spotted and speckled? Remember that story? He puts the spots and the speckles in front of them as they're what? They're drinking and they're mating and they're reproducing. What do they produce? Spotted and speckled sheep. We know this principally, but guess what? Well, we've been doing, someone's doing in churches. Hey man, all right, how you going? Who needs prayer? Oh, his week sucked. Come on, everyone, let's pray for him. Had the worst week ever. And all we're doing is Christians, churches are places for weak people. Now, we're going to minister to this guy, but now next week, what are we going to do? Come on, let's get focused spiritually, physically, relationally, financially. Let's get unstuck in the areas of life. Let's heal the hands. And then they come back, celebrate your wins. Man, I didn't touch alcohol for 7 days. I'm not watching porn anymore. I'm blah, blah, blah. Just going through the stuff. And then you're going to do a post-leaders meeting. Okay? And you're going to celebrate wins. And you're going to share vision. Why are we here, man? Why are we here, ladies? We're here to change lives. We're here to make disciples. We're here because the culture's gone weird and woke, and people don't even know if they're male and female, so we need to make strong men. That's why we're doing it. We're actually doing a Luke 2:52 model. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. That's what we're here for. That's the vision. That's why. Transform is a brotherhood, right? To help men win the four areas of life. That's what it is. That's what we say over and over again. So now we're going to hang out together. Now we're going to actually have fun together. Manly fun, not like weird fun. Is that someone? Someone's thing's going off. Anyway. Concise teaching, discuss, prayer. This week, action. And then, let me say this just to anyone here. So the post-leaders meeting isn't to talk about what sucks. You can do that with an email. Hey, we need to improve this, or a conversation. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's just celebrate some good stuff, right? Because you're leading and you want to encourage people on leadership. Hey, what was great tonight, guys? Now, I get around our post-leaders meeting, used to have two men. Then it grew to 5 men because it started identifying some leaders. Then it grew to 10 men, then 17 men. We have in our post-leaders meeting 55 men who gather around and hear the winds of what's happening in our church. Why? It's firing up, and now they know why they're doing it. They're not leaving like, oh, we've got to improve some stuff. Now you improve stuff later. You can have those conversations and emails later. Does that make sense? This is a growth environment. That's a growth environment. You're probably doing 75% of it. Right? You're doing 75% because that's what we do. You just got to add a little bit at the 15 minutes at the start. 15 minutes at the end. Pre-leaders meeting, post-leaders meeting. You do it for Sunday services, don't you? So you're already doing it. You just do it on Sunday. Because Sunday matters, man. Yeah, but how about your life group? Does that matter or what? So a pre-leaders meeting and post-leaders meeting, and then action as you leave. Hey, we're going to, it could be ladies, it could be, hey, we're going to be in Philippians 1 this week. And that's your devotional time, and share on Instagram, just like a little story of you and your coffee in Philippians 1. Boom, that's your, right? That's your thing. And then all the girls are, oh my gosh, I got this picture. And all of a sudden, all the girls are moving forward, and the dudes are moving forward too. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm just wondering if I need to finish it, anything else. Does this make sense? Okay. Now, let me just kind of practically do this bit for a second. What happens? Okay. How many men can you get to a men's group? Or ladies, how many women can you get to a ladies group? At the moment, like one that's focused, one that's moving forward, one that's going to study for a 10-week season. What's your number? Come on. Let's, per group, yeah, that's fine. In one group, big group. Hey? Why do you say it's the max? Of what you think you can get into a connect group or something like that. All right, let's go 12. 12. Let's go 12 women, 12 men. I think you're shooting too small. Because what you want is about 15 to 18 in a circle, because you know 3 or 4 of them aren't coming. Why? They got sick, got busy, got blah, blah, blah. So the 15 to 18 is actually who signed up. This is who shows up, right? So shoot a little bigger. So otherwise, if you only cap it at this, then what happens if 5 or 6, 6, you know, you got 4 people, you're staring at each other, oh, no one's here tonight, doesn't this suck? Right? So at least I know Australians. All right, good. Okay. What happens if 12 men, I'm going to put 12 to 20 because we need to stretch here, people. Here's what happened to me, and I'll share this story. When I started realizing that I knew how to get men unstuck, 4 areas of life, that's where I know they're stuck in one of them, or 2 of them, or 3 of them, or 4 of them. But I know they're stuck there. I started getting a passion to get them in this group. I know I can help you. And I said to our church, this isn't for you if you just want to show up and not do anything. I said, this is for you if you want to grow. You know what's funny? All of a sudden, more men started showing up. 15 men were showing up to our connect groups. All of a sudden, 33 men showed up to our connect group. Because all of a sudden, people were like, oh, this is a place where we're going to get challenged? Yeah. And then we start challenging. What happens week in, week out, physically, spiritually, relationally, financially? They've got clear steps, clear steps, clear steps. You got 15 men all of a sudden in circles. Now they're getting momentum and moving forward, moving forward. That doesn't sound like much, but guess what? One of them's married, one of them's got kids. And before you know it, those 15 are actually affecting 60. So your church temperature, the momentum in your church, just, it was like it was kind of there getting warmed up. It all of a sudden starts bubbling a bit, doesn't it? If 15 to 20 men who affect, let's say they affect 60 people in your church, the temperature of the church just went up, didn't it? Right. So then imagine, then in 6 months from there, maybe you've got 30 because you've got some momentum and some guys are fired up. And now they're inviting some people. And now you got 30 men getting momentum in your church. And then some women are getting, oh man, I love this transform. He's actually taking me on a date. He's doing something intentional. And before you know it, the women are more excited in your church. I promise you, this is happening. I had people walk up to me, two women come up to me, goes, oh, I don't know what you're talking about in transform. He said, but it's working. My greatest compliment is from women, not from men. Why? Because I know if she's happy, he's changing. Then what happens over time? 45 men. What if 50 men are showing up physically, spiritually, relationally, financially? The thermometer of your church has just changed. Let me say this to you. Revival sometimes looks different. It's sometimes God gives it a different skin in different time. I was back in the day in 90, before I went to Liberty University, so 95, 96, 97, kind of the revival of that time was Brownsville Revival and the different stuff that was happening. It was a moving of the Spirit. I honestly believe that Transform is one of those carriers of revival because it's really, it's the vehicle that helps carry the men to a new place. Does that make sense? So when the problem sometimes with revival, when the moving of the Spirit goes on, we just preach on the moving of the Spirit, but we don't actually preach to the man's house. And then sometimes he's a prayerful guy, but he's a disaster at work. Or he's a praying guy, but is he loving to his wife? Is he forgiving? Does that make sense? He's praying, but he's completely unhealthy. Well, that's not good either, right? What will happen in your church? 15 men. That's the seed. That's the seed. That's the seed. Might take a year to get to 30. Really bubbling. But guess what? A year's coming anyway. A year from now, if you keep on doing the same thing, you're going to keep on having the same results. 30 men. There's 350 men now in our church on a Monday night. Do you know the temperature of our church? It's percolating. I can't describe it. We went from 1,800 people to 2,300 people in 2 weeks. Can you explain that? I can't explain that. We moved to a bigger location. We were averaging 1,800 people. The next week, 2,300 people showed up. Where does that come from? That comes from a whole bunch of men. And then the ladies started hearing all the stuff that was happening in Transform. And they started saying, hey, we want to transform too. And now a lot of those women are getting intentional in the four areas of life. And we've got a path of 3 years of learning. And you can jump. Also on Amazon, I'll just say this. On Amazon.com, we have the book of Ephesians. We have the book of Proverbs. We have the book of Nehemiah. We have a freedom curriculum. All that focus on the four areas of life. But then you go through systematically the Bible. And it's 3 years of learning in 10-week courses. Make sense? Any questions about any of this stuff? Should I open up to questions? Oh. So what you're doing is you're defining the four areas of life. And you're saying, okay, guys, so we want to go through a challenge. So you've got to kind of bring it to, hey, we're going to do a new thing. It's kind of like doing a new workout program. We want to do a new challenge where this week we want to get intentional in the four areas of life, spiritually. Man, we want to be a little more intentional in our health, a little more intentional in relationships, a little more intentional financially. And you give them the spiritual challenge. So the spiritual challenge might be, hey, we're going to read Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 2. So you give them as the pastor, as the leader, you give them the spiritual assignment. At the same time, physical assignment, what does it look like for you to get a little bit more healthy this week? And what we say to the men is, hey, that might look like 3 to 5 times per week working out and only one cheat meal. That's what it might look like. Relationally, what does it look like for you? And let the men write down, what does it look like relationally for me to do an action step? And that action step is, some people have flown to Brazil to go talk to a father that they'd been estranged from for 7 years because that was happening in their life. Some have remarried their ex-wife because somehow God moved on their heart. Some were signed for divorce. And guess what? A little bit of intentionality, before you know it, the flowers start to bloom again. Love can come back, right? And so those would be the act. It's, and what someone will say is this: I'm going to pray more. Like, okay, so what does that look like? Because pray more, like, what does that mean? Is that Yongyi Cho? Is that 5 hours a day? Or is that pray more for me looks like, you know what? It's me going for a walk for 10 minutes and talking to the Lord about my needs. Right? It's simple. It's a little bit. It's not trying to change the whole world in one moment, right? And so what I want to encourage you guys is how you lead yourselves in the four quadrants. Because you can't lead other people in the four quadrants if you're not leading yourself. So what does it look like for you guys to just get a little more intentional, spiritually fired up? Man, I'm reading through the book of Ephesians at the moment. I'm reading through the book of Daniel, whatever it might be. I'm reading through Transform. I'm reading it through, right? I'm hearing podcasts. I'm hearing the word. Relationally, man, I'm trying to be a little more intentional. Financially, man, maybe I'm paying off debt. Maybe I'm going to start a new business. I'm putting away money for retirement. I'm going to be more generous. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give over above my tithe. What is that moment? Does that make sense? Any other questions regarding this?
Oh, okay. The question is your church, you're growing, expanding at a huge rate, but not in a building of your own, so to speak. You're in transitional things. Run us through the setup of your church, like as in the physical, what you need to do on a Sunday.
Cool. Okay, so you guys heard the question. So we meet in a facility that's rented or permanent leased Monday to Sunday, but our Sunday has overgrown that space. So we rent a large theater that has about 630 seats, that has some overflow capacity of probably 100. So basically in a service, you can house probably 800 people. So our production guy gets there at 4 in the morning to set up. Our worship team gets there at 6 in the morning. Our kids team is there by probably 6:30 in the morning, 7 in the morning. They're setting up. Our service is at 8:30. We have four services, 8:30, 10:15, 12 o'clock, and 1:45. And then we have a setup team that has to tear that down and then put that away basically in the space. So it's a big day. The worship team is on for four services. The preacher is on for four services. Unless maybe there's some in-house speakers, and I may give one speaker for two services, another speaker for another. But if I'm speaking, I speak for four. So you have to measure and rest at the right times and all that kind of stuff. Our worship team has to press on through. And we have probably 200 volunteers, at least 250 volunteers that are serving across all four services, from greeters to security team, kids team, all that kind of stuff. So it's a big production, lots of leaders, lots of organization. But remember this, in a growing church, people want a growing church until like there's challenge, but guess what? A growing church takes sacrifice. So like for 20 years or however long I've been preaching, I get up 5 o'clock every Sunday morning and I'm praying, and I've already done my message, but I'm praying, I'm prepping for the day, and I'm just getting ready for what God has for me, and I've been doing that for 20 years. Right? And so you just keep on doing it and you sacrifice and you suck it up, right? Paul said, I treat myself like an athlete, right? And maturity is pressing on to the high call of God in Christ Jesus, right? So let me give you this thought. Okay, so what do you do now? What now? Morning. What's one small change you need to make in your morning? What's one small change? This, remember, your morning dictates your life. Whether, yeah, so it might be prayer, it might be healthy eating, it also might be, man, what do I need to do for the day? It might be walking, might be exercise, it might be just dealing with the kids, you know, all the different stages of all the different life, but it's an intentional morning. I'll just call it that, right? And then an intentional morning leads to what? An intentional day. And as you map out your week, as God our Father did, he saw the week ahead, prioritized it, and then kept reflecting on whether he was doing it or not. So change is hard, but change is possible. Make sense? Let me also share this. If you are doing life groups right now and there's no plan to life groups and you're kind of just going through the motions, I personally think after Easter is an amazing time to relaunch a group so you have 3 to 4 weeks to promote it. You have a 10-week period of doing it, 1 week of celebrating it. Couple of weeks off, do it again. This changes you. This changes your church. Self-leadership, church leadership. You got to work on you, the four quadrants. Spiritual, physical, relational, financial. Then you got to say, man, I don't just want to do the four quadrants. How am I going to help my other people? How am I going to help the ladies? How am I going to help the men in our church literally do this path? And it's going to take me 3 or 4 weeks. Man, I'm going to go get 20 men. I need 20 men who are showing up. This isn't for you if you don't want to grow, man. No, this is for you if you want to grow. Okay? If you want to be a Nancy boy, stay home. Okay? 10 weeks of teaching, intentionality, four quadrants, meetings like I showed you, pre-leaders meeting, post-leaders meeting, all that kind of stuff. Again, bit by bit, then what are you going to do? You're going to celebrate. How do you develop a culture? Well, you teach, model, allow, celebrate. Celebrate the guy changing. Celebrate the lady changing. Celebrate someone bringing someone to church. Celebrate, oh man, you've been growing spiritually. It just feels like, man, more joy's in your life. Like, celebrate. Wow, your relationship with your wife is better. You got a promotion. Whatever it might be, and you celebrate the strongest people in your group. So for 20 men, 20 men show up, and one guy dropped 30 pounds, one guy dropped $5,000 debt, one guy fixed his marriage, and one guy memorized scripture for the first time. Man, he's an MVP. Right? That's worth celebrating. So how do you create a culture? You start to value men who are growing. And small towns, the enemy is passivity. The enemy's passivity. You go to Sydney, it's more like, oh, we're going to do this. Small towns, same old, same old. So the enemy is passivity. Vision, action, reflection. One other thought. Last thought for you. And this is where I want you guys to bump in. What happens if you don't create a great path of discipleship in your church? Say again. What else? What happens to marriages? Hey? They're not strong. If they're not strong, here's the thing. If your marriage is 5 out of 6, 5, 6 out of 10, you know, it's going okay. The challenge is if it stays that long too long, sometimes it'll go to 2. When your marriage goes to 2 out of 10, an affair seems a lot more attractive. That's just the way it works. 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, that marriage is in trouble. But it's interesting. It doesn't often take much to move a marriage from 2 out of 10 to 5 or 6 out of 10. It normally takes a guy just being a little more intentional. It often takes a woman being a little more intentional. A woman may be praying for her marriage for 15 years, but how many know at the same time, like, breakfast in bed one time a week would change your marriage? See, sometimes if we're praying about something for years, but we're not doing anything different, we're asking God to change what we won't change. Because I'm pretty sure most men would go, hey, if we were intimate 3 times a week, that'd change my marriage. But the same lady may be praying for 10 years that her marriage would change. And I'm telling you, it's action that actually changes the marriage. Amen. That was a good word. Anyway. All right. What else happens if you don't have intentional paths of discipleship in your church? Yep. They leave. They're not strong. Marriages are weak. It's hard to get new people. Why? Because there's inaction, right? There's passivity there. We're going through the motions. We're singing about the power of God. Yeah, there's less joy. There's this staleness. It's awful, isn't it? Mums and dads are trying to parent their kids, but because they're a bit stuck, the teenagers aren't listening. Now, it's hard sometimes to get them to listen anyway, but like, if you're not being the example, guess what? They feel like your faith isn't working. So you're preaching, but your life is living, and how many are living's preaching? What else? What else happens? Obviously, I mean, souls aren't won, right? Less souls. The media's right, as in the church is dying and dead and irrelevant. Keep on doing the same thing, we'll keep on having the same result. That's leadership. My favorite leader probably in the Bible, or the favorite book of leadership in the Bible, is Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets a broken heart for the things of God. Prays, watch this now, gets out of his comfort zone. He was comfortable, man. Life was good for him. Gets out of his comfort zone, asks for the vision, asks for the money, goes down there, preaches a sermon. Here's the thing, preaches a sermon, let's go build. He doesn't go and preach sermon after sermon and sermon after sermon and no one does anything. Everyone goes and starts taking ownership of their part of the wall. And when everyone takes ownership of their part of the wall, what happens was the wall is restored, the city is restored, the worship is restored, the people of God are restored. And it was a couple of thousand people that did the work, and then 50,000 people came back to the city. One man got a vision, got action, and he led other people to vision and action. Make sense? Come on, stand to your feet. Just open your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for these leaders. I thank you for the ladies. I thank you for the men. I thank you for the pastors. I thank you for the churches. Holy Spirit, I pray that none of this would fall on dead soil. And I ask, Lord, that lids would lift.